This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's a Lincoln quote for you. A man, after the age of 40, is responsible for his face. That is something he may have said to his young secretary, John Hay, who was marveling at the ugliness of a man they had just met. And if we wish to get directly to the spiritual life of Lincoln, we have just to look at his face, the one he took complete responsibility for. Now, there was a man who made it his life's work to understand the face of Lincoln, but he never saw Lincoln face to face. He was born in Idaho Territory in 1867, a place called Bears Creek. Now, he was a person who became so aware of the structure and the revelations of the human face that when he wrote about Lincoln's face, which he did in 1910, you feel that he must have spent hours looking into Lincoln's eyes, long, maybe even private moments, watching his eyebrows move, the map lines of Lincoln's face coming and going, his chin and lips moving. You assume they must have had 100 different meetings, but in fact, only in an almost extrasensory perception of Lincoln's face, something the man himself called a strange divination, finding, quote, fragments of the real man and patiently, lovingly, yet justly piecing them together. At one point, this man reports that he took what had been called the life mask of Lincoln and, quote, learned it by heart, measured it in every possible way, for it is infallible. Then he returned to the habits of mind which his, Lincoln's, writings showed. He reports that he read nearly everything that Lincoln had written. He was searching for, quote, the enduring greatness of the man, believing it would be written in his words, but also in his actions, his figure, his deportment, in his face, looking for, quote, some compelling greatness that might be put in marble, unquote. This man was a Danish immigrant's son. His father and brother were sculptors. His son became a sculptor, too. He even named his son Lincoln. This man, named Gutzon Borglum, saw himself as one in search of something that the English essayist Carlyle once said he was looking for in a true image of Jesus. Carlyle had once written that even though he thought of himself as a poor man who would give one-third of all he had if only to possess, quote, a variable contemporaneous representation of Jesus Christ. This is the quest wherein the artist and the spiritual person engage in the very same work. How to make the spiritual real, visible, knowable, what the Gospels call the Word made flesh. And as a sculptor, Gutzon Borglum knows more about how to read the human body for its spiritual secrets than most writers do. There are now even whole schools of psychology and psychotherapy that read body language for diagnosis, from acupuncture pulses to Feldenkrais movements. So here is one thing that Mr. Borglum wrote about Lincoln's body. He wrote it in an article in 1910 in a magazine called Everybody's Magazine, kind of an early version of Life magazine. This is what he said. Many of his photographs show to me a spirit hunting and hunted, as by some soul-stirring motive. His neck, writes the sculptor Borglum, does not rest upon his shoulders. It rises from them with an erect, an alertness, as if one alarmed, that is unique. And so it was that Lincoln responded to the alarm of America, and so it was that eventually, 17 years after writing these words, the sculptor began a work only to be completed by his son in 20 more years, Mount Rushmore, and the head of Lincoln 60 feet high, three times the size of the whole Lincoln Memorial Lincoln sitting figure. This is a man whose scale was and is unsurpassed, and in our own spiritual and artistic imagination can light us down in honor until the end of time, the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.